For the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. We've started in verse 3 a couple weeks ago. It said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Then we moved to the next one. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We talked about what it means to be poor in spirit. We talked about what it means to be mourn, and we're to be mournful over our sin. And then tonight we're going to talk about this one here, verse 5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, meek is something that often gets a bad rap. Meek is an often misunderstood word in our language today. I mean, how many of you use that every day in your conversation? David King does, but other than that, nobody else. Okay. Well, some things about who Jesus is talking about here. His audience, the people that he's speaking to, they know how to act spiritually proud. Okay, Pharisees did what? I mean, they stood up and they put that old chest out and they were proud of the fact that they knew the law, proud of the fact that they followed the law as far as they wanted to understand the law, I think, sometimes. But they were very proud of that, and they kind of looked down their nose at those who did not, and they were very proud. They knew how to be spiritually proud and spiritually self-sufficient. Okay, meaning they didn't need anybody else. They had their law, and they were spiritually filled with that law, and that's all they needed. And don't nobody try to tell me nothing else, right? Okay, they knew how to do that, and they actually believed that the Messiah was coming soon. All right, I mean, if you're a Jew, you were hoping and praying for the Messiah, and they believed that he was coming soon. And then they also believed, the Pharisees especially, and those that were those people we were just talking about, they believed that when the Messiah showed up, that he would commend them for their goodness. Yeah, for their goodness, for the good works, for the things that they had done and they were being good. And they were really looking forward to a Messiah that would deal gently with them and harshly with their enemies, with their oppressors, at this time being the Romans. Okay, they were under Roman rule. They were looking for a Messiah to come in, say, "All right, I'm here now. You guys did a great job. I'm so proud of y'all. Man, y'all are just the most spiritual people I've ever seen in my life. Now I'm going to handle the Romans. We're going to take care of them, and then we'll be off on our own." And that's kind of what they thought of the Messiah that they were anticipating. Some of them thought he would come and be a great military leader. Some of them thought, you know, had different things, but they were all these powerful visions. And the problem was that that's not the way the Messiah came. However they expected the Messiah to come, they did not expect him to be coming humble and meek. Okay? Because when they thought of humble and meek, Messiah was not in the same sentence with that. Okay, it doesn't go together. Not like jumbo shrimp. Those two go together because I like big shrimp, you know. But Messiah and humble and meek, they were thinking, "Oh no, wait a minute." They had an interpretation that sometimes we think of, that meek means weak. And how can you be a Messiah if you're weak? The idea of a meek Messiah leading meek people was far from any of their concepts of the kingdom that was to come. This didn't fit in. They were proud. They were Jews. They were God's chosen people, right? They were proud of that fact. They had this unmeekness about them. They understood military power. They understood miracle power. But they did not understand the power of meekness. And when Jesus began this sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, when he began it by teaching about humility, we find in verse 3, humility, and in verse 4, mourning over sin, and meekness now in verse 5, the people kind of went, "Hang on, wait a minute. Let's slow your roll here, Jesus, because this is not exactly what I had in mind There's something wrong with this picture that you're painting here. This Jesus, in their mind, he could hardly be the deliverer they were looking for. Okay? A lot of people had talked about that he was the Messiah, and a lot of people excited about it because they wanted their idea of a Messiah. And when he started talking like this, they started thinking, well, we had hope, but he certainly cannot be the one we're looking for, because great causes are fought by the proud. These battling warriors, and I mean, there was a pride factor associated with great victories. And you cannot win victories while you're mourning, for sure. I mean, who can go fight if you're mourning? They really didn't even understand the idea of real holy mourning. And you could certainly never conquer the Romans with meekness. Romans weren't interested in, I mean, if you were meek and you were facing the Romans, that's exactly what they wanted. Because in their mind, remember, meek is weak. And they thought, well, if I'm weak, because remember, it's messed up, they thought meek meant weak. If I'm weak, that's exactly what the Romans want. And that's, well, certainly true. But in spite of all the miracles that Jesus did while during his time on earth, the people never really believed in him as the Messiah. Teacher, okay, they could call him a teacher. Some could call him a Lord, Master. But they had a really hard time buying him as the Messiah because he failed to act in military or miracle power against Rome. And that's what their idea of the Messiah was. Now, at one point in the New Testament, can't tell you exactly where it is right now, I could look it up for you, but Jesus was talking about, you know, that they're slaves, and they said, oh, wait a minute, we're children of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. They didn't even know their own history or had ignored their own history. They've been slaves to everybody at one point or another. Everybody had, you know, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians, they'd all had this subduing power over the Israelites at some point. This word that's translated meek is from a Greek word called praos. P-R-A-O-S is how we kind of write it out in English. Praos. And what it really means is mild or soft. The term was sometimes used to describe a soothing medicine, like an aloe, or a soft breeze, like a mild, gentle breeze. You know, we still call it a gentle breeze. Meek also is translated gentle. It was used to describe a colt or another animal whose wild spirit was broken by a trainer so that the animal could do useful work. A bronc buster could take a wild colt and make the animal meek. Not weak, but meek. For us, it means to be of gentle spirit, submissive, quiet, or tender-hearted. That's what meekness means. Now, the biggest difference between you saying, okay, wait a minute, what's the difference between that and poor in spirit back in verse 3? The biggest difference between being poor in spirit and being meek is that poor in spirit focuses on our sinfulness, right? I have to recognize my lowness because of sin. I'm poor in spirit, recognizing that I remember the illustration I used as a beggar. I'm poor in spirit, okay? Focused on our sinfulness, while meekness focuses not on our sinfulness, but on God's holiness. This song that we sang a while ago, is it all still up here? I was thinking about this song while we were singing it. I see the Lord, and His train fills the temple. I see the Lord high and lifted up. And the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord, and His eyes are flaming like fire, and His hair is as white as snow. The angel come and touched my lips, and now my guilt is gone and my sin has been forgiven. Talked about that. And then it talked about, there's another. Did we see the other one? I thought we sang the other one, Zachary. The smoke. Oh, that's it. That one's it. And the temple is filled with the glory of God. And the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And that whole song, as we sang that song, I thought that is the picture of meekness. It's not really, I mean, there's a mention of poor in spirit, recognizing that I'm sinful and I need the angel came and touched the coal to my lips, okay? But the rest of it is talking about the glory and the magnificence of God. And his presence, just, when I think about that passage in Isaiah, that the temple was filled with the smoke, and the angels cried, holy, 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 and the doorpost, the foundation shook. Recognizing that is the God, focusing on that is the epitome of what meekness means. Where am I compared to all of that? That's meekness. Okay? When we, humility is found as an underlying current in both of those things. One of them, I'm humbled because I recognize my state and my need for a Savior. And the other one is, I'm humbled by the fact that that's the God I serve. There's humility found in both, but they come from different directions. Am I making sense? One is because I recognize my sinfulness. The other one is I recognize God's majesty. When we take an honest look at ourselves, we're made humble by seeing how sinful and unworthy we truly are. When we look at God, we're made humble by seeing how righteous and worthy He is. Now, as I've told you time and time again, meekness is not weakness. It means power put under control. Now, you take that good colt, and it's been what we call broken. Okay. Has that colt still got all the strength that he used to have? Absolutely. It's just now put under control. The word was in the Greeks used that word to describe a colt that had been broken. Not weak. It's just under control. When I think about Jesus, I don't think about weakness. Some have said, well, for him just to stand there and let them hit him and spit upon him and curse him and all that, that's weakness. No, that's power under control. When Jesus went into the temple and found what had happened, had been going on in the temple, the people were profiteering there in the temple courts, and he decided to display a little bit of power. It wasn't power out of control. It was still power under control. He was still meek even in that moment. Just like an unbroken colt is useless, just like medicine that's too strong does more harm than good, I don't know about that. A wind that is out of control, remember I talked about a gentle breeze? A wind that is too strong, we call hurricanes, okay, they do a lot of damage. So is true with emotions that are out of control. They can do a lot of damage too. Meekness is not cowardice or weakness. It's not being it's not cowing down. It's not a lack of conviction or simply being nice or being a pushover. That's not meekness. Okay? Those are weakness. And remember, this is how even though they understood the word meek, when they considered meek and Messiah, they didn't go together. When they looked at Jesus, they didn't see meek, they saw weak. They saw weak. They thought, this man can't be our Messiah. Meekness is necessary because only meekness truly gives God glory. Meekness is necessary because it's in our meekness when we recognize that God is glorious, so He gets all the glory. You see, pride, which is the opposite of meekness, pride seeks its own glory. But meekness seeks God's glory. We are meek when we focus on God's holiness and we're humbled by it. May we be considered meek because we've recognized the holiness of God. We sing about it. We talk about it. We preach about it. We pray about it. But only you can experience it. When I think about people like Moses going up on top of the mountain, and he would come down and his face would be shiny, be glowing, because he had been in the presence of God. Now, he didn't even get to see God, except one time when God let him see his backside, and that's a great story. But there's, when he was in the presence of God, it was so visible upon him that everybody else could tell and know that he had been in the presence of God. That majesty, that gloriousness that we focus on when we think of God. And again, Isaiah paints a great picture of it. We can read through passages in Daniel and in the Revelation when it talks about some of the end times and the descriptions of God and of Christ. And just, you know, kind of paint your little picture there. You get a true sense of just how majestic He is. And that's where meekness comes from. It's recognizing the holiness of God. Remember, I'll review just a minute. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are we when we recognize our lowliness and our need for a Savior. Blessed are those who truly mourn. And see, we can't really mourn over our sin until we come to that point where we recognize our lowliness. These are in order, folks. Jesus was pretty smart. Blessed are we when we're poor in spirit, we recognize our lowliness. Blessed are those who mourn over their sin, a godly sorrow. And then blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, those who not only recognize their lowliness, but they recognize God's highness. And we're just getting started in this Beatitudes, folks. But these Beatitudes, and they're called Beatitudes. I don't know if I told y'all this or not. Y'all know why they're called Beatitudes? The Beatitude is a Latin term, beatitudinous or something like that, that means blessed or happy. And these are the things that Jesus talks about, because He mentions that word, blessed are those. And so these are the blessing verses. Oftentimes in these Beatitudes, there are two completely contradictory terms. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? And they're often contradictory. And He confounded a lot of people. The people that were stuck on themselves didn't get it. May we not be stuck on ourselves. May we be stuck on God. Looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Him and recognizing, man, compared to God and who God is, I'm just a vapor in the wind. Oh, but how special am I that He loves me? How special am I that He gave Himself up for me? Oh, man. And if that doesn't cause you just to go, if that doesn't cause goosebumps inside you on your goosebumps, then there's something wrong, okay? When you recognize who you are and where you are, and who God is and where He is, the vast difference that is between them, and that He loves us anyway and wants to bring us to His level. Now, we'll never be like God. I don't mean up to His level, but He wants us to spend eternity where He is. an invitation. More than an invitation, it's. Have you ever sent out invitations for parties, birthday party, graduations, wedding announcements, birth announcements? Have you ever sent out invitations and go, well, I better send this person an invitation, but I hope they don't show up? Has anybody ever done that? I have. Okay. Oh, me and Zachary are the only ones. Okay. Maybe we're the only honest ones in the room, Zachary. Oh, that's right. That's right. But that's not the way God sends His invitations out. He doesn't send out an invitation going, well, I'm kind of obligated to send an invitation to this person, but I hope they don't show up. That's not our God. That's not our God. God not only sends an invitation to us, but His desire is for us to be with Him. How do we get there? Poor in spirit, right? What's the next one? Verse 4, what's it say? Blessed are those who mourn, who are truly sorrow about their sin. And then now in verse 5, we have the third. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek, not weak. Don't confuse the two. Don't make the mistake the old Jews made. It's not weak. It's power under control. Power under control. And when I think about it, I mean, I've ridden some spirited horses. There's been a time. I am going to tell a story. Can I tell it? Oh, I've got to do it real quick because we're out of time. Rebecca and I had not been married very long. I was working at New Horizons, a residential treatment facility for emotionally disturbed children. And it was a ranch setting. And every once in a while, we'd go on these trail rides. I think this was during campout week. And we're going on a trail ride on the horses because they had horses out there and they use the horses for therapy and whatnot. We're riding these horses. And Rebecca is really not a horsewoman. And, I mean, look at her. She looks like one, but she's really not. So anyway, we're riding these horses, and she knows that you're supposed to sit in the saddle and hold these leather things that you do something with. And that's about all she knows. And she's riding this horse. Well, this horse decided, I hardly ever get out of the pen, out of the corral, and now I'm out. I want to step it out a little bit, right? And then before long, this horse is like, nose is in the wind, the ears are back, and Rebecca's like this. Michael! 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 And so me being the... I did not laugh. I did not laugh. Me being the studly cowboy that I was at the time, I'm come riding. Here he comes to save the day. And that's when I rode up beside the horse, and I reached over and grabbed the reins, and I whoed us all down to a... But I was the hero. I was the hero, and a great story, great story. But when I think about this, spirited horse. I've been on some spirited horses. And there's been times when I thought, who's really in charge here? I know I have these reins, and there's a bit in this horse's mouth, but I'm not real confident that no matter how hard I pull on this bit, that horse is not just going to laugh at me and do whatever it wants to anyway. Okay? That power. The horses have a lot of power. And when it's under control, it's useful. When it's out of control, it's dangerous and scary. Power under control is what meekness is. May we be meek. May we be meek. If we can call ourselves truly meek, it means that we recognize that there is power. There is power. Not in my own strength, not in my power, but there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in His Spirit that resides within me. And it's a controlled power. That's meekness. That's meekness. May we be found meek. Lord, Father in heaven, we come before You tonight and we just say thank You, Father. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your example to us, Lord. When we think of meek, we can truly look to Jesus and say, it's not weak. It was not timid. It was not shy. It was not afraid. It was power under control. Father, may we realize that that same power that was with Jesus Christ, Father, you have placed inside of us as believers. Father, I believe that a lot of Christians that call themselves Christians never realize their full potential because they never realize the power that's within them. Father, help us to see that. Not get prideful and boastful about it, but to be meek, gentle, just as Jesus was. Teach us, Lord. Continue to teach us. It doesn't matter if we're 88 years old or 6 or 7 years old or anywhere in between. Father, teach us. Continue to teach us to be meek. And then we can look forward to our inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen.